I think the tough thing for Buffalo is they didn't want to trade Peterka, but Peterka made it clear he wasn't coming back, and the Sabres had to make the trade. They kind of lost control of the situation. They got something they really needed, but they lost control of the situation. I think with Byram, you can't continually let this happen to you as a franchise. At some point in time, you have to dictate, we're handling this. We're controlling this. And one of the things the Sabres have indicated is no futures. They want something that can help them next year. And in the deal with Peterka, they felt they got that. I think the challenge for Buffalo here is that Byram has 2 years until UFA. And now he's represented by an agent, and Darren Ferris, who really tells his players, he walks them right to UFA. So Buffalo knows if they don't do this now, then they probably won't be able to do it next year.
Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. Bo Byram, Sabres have elected for arbitration. He gets to pick the term, and he could pick 2 years and go right to free agency. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off this week. Brian Koziol is sitting down. He was just hanging out in here, and you're making your YouTube stream debut. So congrats on that. To the YouTubers.
Very exciting.
How does that all sound to you? Where are we at? Where's your vibe check right now with the Sabres offseason, given that I think the number one thing everybody was waiting on to happen is still the thing that we haven't seen happen?
Yeah, it's been the anticipation of that big move and all the hype and all the rumors that Kevin Adams is wanting to make a big move. I don't know if the J.J. Peterka trade was that move, but to me, all I saw was a top six forward exit, and the scoring for those goals have not come back on paper in any capacity.
Right.
You know, and I know at the end of Adams speaking the other day, he said, well, we're harder to play against, and we're, you know, maybe more defensively sound and aware. And okay, fine, but last year they still obviously were way, way, way short, and they needed to improve in a lot of areas. And all we kept saying last year was we needed another top six forward. Like, well, that wasn't there. And now you subtracted a guy that maybe is capable of scoring 30 goals. So,
yeah.
To me, I don't see how they got better. Maybe defensively, if assuming Byram is a part of this team, that I guess 1 through 6, I'll say maybe they're better. But the Byram thing still is a mystery. It seems very reactive now instead of proactive. And had they want Bo Byram to be on this team, like, I feel like they could have had it done a lot earlier and not had it drag out to this point. And then you hear Kevin Adams asking about the cap, and hey, you have all this room. How come? What's the plan? And he's like, well, we're allotting all this money for Byram. Like, well, you're waiting for like either an offer sheet or a leak or a trade or something to happen so that you have this buffer zone. Well, guess what? All the trades in the free agency, like, you've lost the timing of it. Not to say that something can't happen now, but the time to do it, the juicy time to do it is gone now. So like, you're going to have to work even harder. And I just think it seems very reactive, and there's nothing on paper to me that says that they're better.
And now the offer sheet thing is gone. Like, by filing for arbitration, there's no offer sheet. So, okay, you got $13 million in space that you're saving for. Like, Byram will, if he were to be around this year, he would be on, you know, a chunk of that.
Yeah.
Half of it, maybe. But they're not. That means they're going to have $6-8 million left available again this year that they chose not to use. And that was because you were worried for 5 days about Bo Byram getting offer sheeted. It just feels like another excuse as to why they didn't bring in more talent.
And with Adams on the record saying it's hard to get maybe the upper tier player to come here because of the no trade clauses in people's contracts. We knew overpaying maybe was a likely possibility for someone, and I wasn't going to rip him for that. I'm not even going to throw Marner in this mix, or, you know, ultimately, you know, Sam Bennett never got to free agency, but I know those were the big names at the top. Maybe the next tier of player, like, let's say Ehlers, a player like that second tier player. Like, had they paid him more than Carolina did, $2 million more per year than maybe Carolina did, and we would have been like, ooh, that's pricey. I would have understood it. I wouldn't have ripped it because that's what we are under the mindset that that's what you have to do right now to get somebody to come to Buffalo. So I wouldn't have been upset with something like that. But maybe him losing out on that player or a player of that caliber because he was like, well, I have to see what happens with Byram. Like, well, you could have figured this out with Byram a long time ago. So it just seems to me like, again, the window of opportunity to maybe bring in somebody bigger now becomes much, much more difficult.
I do disagree with me on this. I think it would benefit them to have it come out that they even tried on a guy like that. I don't know how they feel. I almost get the sense that they don't go for it, or they keep it under wraps that they went for Ehlers. Let's say, what did he go for, $8.5 million at Carolina? I think it was like $8.5 million. Let's say the Sabres offered him $9.5 or $10
million. Yeah.
I almost think they would want that out there because there's a question right now of whether they even try on players like that. Yeah. And even giving the effort, sure, you would have failed on that effort. And I think maybe that's what they're afraid of, looking like, well, we keep swinging and missing. But I think there are some people right now that are wondering if you were even swinging, which that's worse. I think not swinging at all is worse than swinging and missing, personally.
What looks worse? You couldn't land a player that you offered more money for.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, Ehlers chose Carolina for $2 million. Like, that's how bad the situation is now. Or, you're right, or there's the assumption now that they just aren't going after anybody or can't even get in the mix.
That they, like, no, he's not going to come here anyway, so why even try?
And I guess, ultimately, I'll side more with what you said. I think I agree. I think I'd still rather hear, well, it's rumored the Sabres offered him 9.5 average, average annual salary, and he just chose Carolina for a variety of reasons.
Competitive reasons.
Right. Ultimately, that is the reason that I feel like I can sleep with the easiest. Oh, we offered Ehlers 9.5. He listened. He talked to us. He was considering it, but ultimately, in the end, he says, "I want to win a cup while I'm in my prime."
Right.
And I say, "Well, okay, I get it." Like, that's at least then I can say, "Well, they were in it. They were conscious of the fact that they knew they needed a player of this caliber, and they were in the mix." And ultimately, in the end, if you talk to the guy, like, he says, look, I value winning the cup more than anything. Okay, I get it. And then I feel like it's a less negative look on the Sabres. Say, well, you just got to swing again. It's something, another player who's the next Ehlers that we can throw another $2 million at extra than somebody else and hope they say yes in order to swing the pendulum back in the Sabres' favor.
Yeah. Brian Koziel sitting in. Duster Challenge this year?
Yep. Actually, just coming in to get some details out about that. So we're into July now. We're actually 2.5 weeks away. Actually, two weeks away. Friday, July 18th at Glen Oak, 6:00. Our Tee to Green team and the Western PGA, we team up, put on our putting challenge. It's our ninth year we've been doing this.
Wow.
The last 2 years, we've had over 100 putters.
Awesome.
So it's a really cool night, Joe. I know you've done it in the past.
It's so much
Other
fun.
Other guys from the station have done it in the past. Yeah. So just a real quick synopsis of the night. 6:00, we kick it off. Assuming we have about 100 or so golfers again, or putters again, 50 of you guys will putt at 6, and you go through. We have an 18-hole putting course set up on the Glen Oak Green. Some ones that you think you can make a hole in one on, and then some ones that are crazy that you're lucky.
You'll never make a hole in one.
Right. You're lucky you're going to two putt. But and then another wave goes at 7:00. While one is putting, the other is eating, and vice versa. Hey, thanks to Peter Gourmet for providing the dinner again and donating that. Amazing this year.
Nice.
So then when that's all done at 8, we cut the field. We take the top 16, and we go into match play. And then we have little mini 9-hole putt-offs, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and so on. And ultimately, the lights are on at this point. Music's playing the whole time. We got prizes, 50-50. Lots of great foursomes from courses across Western New York that have donated, so thank you. And then at the end, we get down to the finals, and we award the old Hickory putter, the Pacer putter that our late friend Mark Pacer, a longtime supporter of our Tee to Green show, and we have a winner. We crown Western New York's best putter. So, but by the way, you don't have to be a golfer or an amazing putter to do this. We'd love to have you just come. The reason we do it, beyond the fun, is that it raises money for PGA Hope. And real quick on PGA Hope, we put military veterans in a golf scenario to kind of get them back to acclimated to normal life. And they're there with other veterans, and they get to talk about just, you know, the transition of going from military life back to normal citizen life, Joe, like you and I are so lucky to live every day. Like, it's tough for a lot of veterans. So we give them golf experiences, golf lessons with the PGA pros, other things to get them in a fun environment where they can maybe, you know, adjust to getting back to real life and through golf.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a great time. I've whenever I have a conflict with it, I'm like slam the table because I'm really upset that I can't go because it is an awesome time.
Easiest way to sign up. Go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR and it's the pinned tweet and it's the link. Just click there. It's a $49 donation. If you're an area business and you would love to donate, we'd love to have you. We'll get you a sponsor sign, all that sort of stuff. So reach out to me and we'd love to have you do it. But even if you just want to, kids do it.
Yep.
Last year, the finals.
I think I lost to a 12-year-old a couple years ago.
Last year, the finals was, I would say, middle-aged man against a high schooler.
Yeah.
So, we get everybody in there. We're starting to get some more females signed up, which we love. But, again, it's super fun. We got music going the whole time. We got drinks. We got food. It's going to be, even if you want to come and just hang out, we'd love to have you. So, thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, absolutely. At BrianWGR, again, the top of his Twitter page is the pinned one. And then, real quick, right now, a week plus out, who would be your pick for the Open? Open Championship.
Ooh, good question.
Because the Rory momentum has slowed a bit.
Yeah.
So
he's had a very, very interesting post-Masters.
Yeah.
And I will say I was dead wrong on what I thought it would be.
I thought he was going to go on a tear.
I thought he's free. The pressure is he said, I've accomplished everything that I set out to in my golf life. So then he has got zero pressure. And you'd think he'd be the happiest go-lucky guy on the course. Golf can be so frustrating. We all know because we play. Mm-hmm. And my thought would be, hey, I just won the Grand Slam. Like, active player-wise, you have the best resume of any active player on earth.
Right. But the dam's been broken.
Right.
Let's go.
Like, just play. If you miss a cut, so what?
Right.
Like, kind of thing. Or what? You have a bet. But instead, he's arguing with the media. He's mad that his name was linked to his driver not being conforming. And I know some people are online are like, oh, did he cheat at the Masters? Like, no.
He didn't cheat
at the Masters.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't want to talk now to the media. He's grouchy. He's slamming clubs. He's breaking tee signs at the U.S. Open.
He's talking about finding ways to be motivated kind of, too, right? Like that he climbed his Everest.
Yes.
And you're kind of searching for the next mountain.
His quote about Mount Everest, that more people die on the way down. Like, how morbid is that?
That was a wild quote.
That he's like, you have this quest that brings you to the top, but like you fight through everything to get there. Now you're there and you have to go down. He's obviously not handling it well. So
it's weird.
To answer your question, I guess I'm not going to put McIlroy there, even though it's back in Ireland. The last time at Royal Port Rush, it was there. That was when Shane Lowry got his win. Lowry's had a really good year.
Yeah.
I'd like to maybe throw him into the mix amongst the non-Scottie Schefflers of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to throw Scottie Scheffler's name into the mix here. Xander Schauffele's been playing majors outstanding over the last 5 years, so I think I got to throw his name in there. But I think it's as wide open as ever. It really is. There's so many European players. I mean, look at who would have thought Adam Scott had a chance to win the U.S. Open. Robert McIntyre could have won the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
J.J. Spawn, we know, won the U.S. Open. Sam Burns. I mean, there's so many players. It's so deep. And the favorites other than Scheffler, I feel like you could argue maybe against all of them right now. So it's going to be a very, very interesting Open here in 2 weeks.
The guy I'm rooting for and the guy I will be betting, how do you feel about Fleetwood?
Yes.
Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood, I feel like,
two
is not
like... 2 weeks
ago,
the devastating loss.
Like, more for the hardcore golf fans, he's kind of like a very rootable...
Yes.
He's never won.
Yes.
And he's been he's never won at least
on the PGA Tour.
Well, I guess this wouldn't count either for that, right?
So,
if he won a major.
Well, officially yes it would, cuz the PGA Tour has, even though they don't run the event, they have links to the event.
They count it.
It counted as a PGA Tour event. So yes, this would count. But yeah, Fleetwood has won a lot worldwide, DP World Tour events.
And if he won this event for his first win, I just think it would be, the story would be awesome.
For
those that don't know him.
For Englishmen, the Open is probably their number one. So I think this would definitely be it for sure. And everybody in the golf media says he is the nicest guy in the world, so rootable, very classy, genuine, he's great for golf, and he's fun to watch. So I think Fleetwood would be a great story if he ended up winning.
TD Green this week?
Yep. We are in Lewiston, Niagara Falls Country Club.
Cool.
Porter Cup coming up, the big amateur event here in Western New York. And we'll be there to preview it this week. And then we're actually there 2 weeks in a row. Then we'll be there before the final round. So the next two Saturdays.
Cool.
And then next Saturday, too, we go 2 hours because it'll also be Open Championship week. So seven to eight this week, 7 to 9 next week, both up at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston.
Cool. We'll be listening. Again, if you want to sign up for the Duster Challenge, at BrianWGR and find the pinned tweet right at the top there. Extendo Sports, when we come back, thanks to Brian. And we'll come back and wrap things up here on WGR.